Go to the book of Proverbs, and I'm going to give you some timeless principles from the Word of God this morning about this subject, children bringing joy to parents. Children bringing joy to parents. Hey, did you know that it's God's plan that children bring joy to their parents? Now, why are y'all laughing? I've got three. I got Clint, Brother Clint is my son. He's 24. I've got two teenage boys. I've raised three boys. I'm still raising two of them, but Clayton's a senior in high school, and Caleb's 15. But, you know, I'm raising these boys. By the way, we got one on the way. Me and Denise got one on the way. Are y'all surprised? A grandchild, amen? And a lot of you already know that. It's kind of old news, but maybe you didn't hear it. But yeah, I'm going to be a grandpa. I got one on the way, amen? And so, man, that's exciting. And did you know that it is God's plan for children to bring joy to their parents? That's God's plan. Look in your handout at the top, Proverbs 23, 24, and 25. And it says there, the father of the righteous shall greatly, underline that word, rejoice. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child, that's the mom, shall have joy of him. Underline the word joy. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad. Underline that word glad. And she that bare thee shall, and underline that, rejoice. So notice, rejoice, have joy, be glad, rejoice. Clearly it is God's plan that children bring joy to their parents. That's God's plan. Now let's talk reality. Let's talk reality. Would y'all agree with me that children have the potential to bring grief and shame and reproach to their parents? Yes. Look at Proverbs 19, verse 26. All right, we're going to be in the book of Proverbs all morning, flipping back and forth. So have your fingers and your Bible ready. And if you need the Pew Bible, please use it. They're in front of you. That's what it's there for. But look at Proverbs 19 and look at verse number 26. Notice it says, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth, notice, shame to his parents and bringeth reproach. So, God's plan is for children to bring joy to their parents, but it is possible that a child can bring grief and bring reproach and can bring shame to their parents. Now, nobody looks at their newborn baby and plans for their child to do atrocities. Nobody plans for their little baby to rebel, to live in a destructive way, to hurt other people. No, nobody plans on that for their little baby. You know, a lot of folks, it's their dream to have a child, whether by pregnancy or by adoption. They want to have a kid. And when they finally have a kid, their hearts are just thrilled. Their dream has come true. But the reality is that dream can become a nightmare once that child begins to grow, once that child begins to walk, to talk, and to make decisions in their life. And that will happen. That will happen. Every precious little baby becomes a teenager. Amen. And if they grow up, they become a teenager, you know, and they learn to talk, you know. And, you know, as they are teenagers and they begin to talk, it can, like I said, that dream can become a nightmare. And as a parent, you're looking at that teenager thinking, you know, to think I was proud when you learned to talk, you know. Now, how do parents prevent that from happening? Because that's what I want to focus on that this morning. How do parents keep that dream from becoming a nightmare? Well, the Bible has the answers. I said the Bible has the answers. Amen. It is a practical book. Oh, my friend, people, I can't understand the Bible. You will understand every verse we read today, I promise you. The Bible is not a book that is hard to understand. I can promise you that. There may be verses that are tough. There may even be chapters that are a little more challenging. But the Bible is a book that very much can be understood. It's practical. It's for your everyday living. And yes, the Bible even gives parents some very divine, timeless principles that will work if they are implemented. God doesn't leave us in the dark. He doesn't leave us to grope around wondering what to do with these kids. God gives us the answers. And so I want to look at some divine, timeless principles from the book of Proverbs, okay? And maybe you're a grandparent. This will help you. You know, I'm going to be one pretty soon, and it'll help you. Maybe you're an uncle, an aunt. Maybe you are a young couple, and you've got one on the way, or you're hoping one day to have kids. This will help you. I promise you. Divine, timeless principles from the book of Proverbs about how children can bring joy to your life, all right? Number one is this. Here's the first timeless principle, is that parents must have a plan and goal, all right? Now, for this verse, I've got it in your handout, all right? So let's go ahead and look in your handout, and notice it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, what's the first word of that verse? Train. Now, I looked that word train up, and you know what I found out that it meant? It meant, now this is going to amaze you a little, it means to narrow. You're like, well, that don't mean anything to me. What does that have to do with child rearing, Pastor Dan? To narrow, that doesn't have anything to do with child rearing. Oh, yes, it does. Let me explain to you. Let me give you an illustration. It's football season. Lots of upsets yesterday in college football. Great time of year if you're a football fan. Now, this is a great illustration if you like football. If you don't like football, ladies, I got another illustration I'm going to use here in a minute that'll help you, all right? But let's take football first, all right? If you are a football team and you got an opponent that you're playing next week and you're preparing for the game, the coach doesn't gather the team around and say, okay, guys, here's the plan. We're going to run, pass, and catch the football and stop them from doing it. Okay? Now, that's great. That's a good thing, but it's too broad. You see, the coach has to narrow. Remember, the word train means to narrow. He's got to narrow the game plan to more specific strategies, more specific goals, and even specific plays. Yes, yes, absolutely. We want to run, pass, and catch the football and stop them from doing it. But it's too broad. You got to narrow it. You got to say, we got specific plays where you're going to run this way. You're going to run this way. You're going to take the ball, and we're going to hand it to you, and you're going to run through this specific place in the line, and you're going to block your guy this way, you're going to block your guy this way, the running back's going to shoot through there, this guy over here is going to go block the linebacker. So what am I saying? I'm saying that you got to narrow that thing down. If you're going to train your football team to win as a coach, you can't just be broad. Well, we're going to run, we're going to pass, we're going to catch it, keep them from doing it. No, you got to narrow it. That word train means to narrow. Now, many parents, they haven't narrowed it. They have no real strategy. They have no well-defined game plan, if you will, or goal in the training of their children. They've never narrowed it down. They've never zeroed in on the goal and the strategy for how to raise their children up. Ladies, an illustration that we'll use for you is shopping. How's that sound, huh? Shopping. Now, ladies, if you've got to get a pair of shoes, I guarantee you probably don't just sit at home and say, I'm going to go buy a pair of shoes, and that's it. I'm just going to get in my car, wherever it leads me, I'm going to go and buy a pair of shoes. No, you narrow it, don't you? What you do is you figure out, okay, this is the type of shoe, whether dress, casual, sandals, you know, slippers. You know what kind of shoe you're needing. You maybe even have an idea of what color you're needing because you need it to match something, all right? You know whether or not you want it open-toed, closed-toed, whether or not you straps. Those big words like straps give me problems, all right? So you know whether or not you got straps. You know kind of what you're looking for, and you even have an idea of what stores you know you're going to hit before you leave the house. I'm going to hit this store, I'm going to hit this store, and you kind of got that in mind. What am I saying? It's not just broad, I'm going to go buy shoes. No, it's you narrow it. And the idea of the word train up your children in the way they should go, that means to narrow. In other words, Christian parents, those who know the Lord, we've got a plan. We've got a goal, see, that involves helping my child to grow up to be godly. And you've heard me harp on this over and over. Every time I preach on this subject, I think I say this, is that a Christian's goal is not just to raise up a good kid, it's to raise up a godly kid that loves Jesus Christ. We want them to believe the Bible. We want them to love the Lord Jesus Christ. We want them to walk in fellowship with Him. Look at that verse again. It says, train up a child in the way. Notice that word way. Train him up in the way he should go. Now that word way, if you look it up, it means a course of life, a road. So that means I am proactively training my kids to follow a definite course. Now listen, that doesn't mean I'm going to micromanage their life. When it says that I'm trying to train them up to walk a certain course of life, that doesn't mean I'm trying to dictate what kind of job they have when they're an adult, where they live, who they marry, and all that. I'm not trying to dictate all that. But when it says train up the child in the way they should go, a course of life, that's not referring to those things like where they live and what kind of job they have, you know, where they work. No. What that's referring to is their character. See, what kind of character do I want my child to have? What kind of morals should they have? I'm wanting to instill in them the way they should go. That is the right morals, the right values, the right priorities in their life, the right belief system that's going to anchor their life. See, that's what it means when it says train them up in the way they should go, is that we're proactively training our children to follow a definite course. That is a certain kind of character, belief system, morals, values. Now, if I've got this way that I want them to go, all right, well then I've got to carefully monitor as a parent the influences in my child's life. I've got to monitor those things. That is, I think a parent ought to know what their kids are looking at on the internet. They need to know what kind of music they're listening to, what kind of TV shows they're watching, what kind of friends they're hanging around with. Man, I just think a parent, if you've got a well-defined strategy and goal for raising up your children to walk a certain way and to have a certain belief system and values and morals, then you know what? You need to know who they're hanging around with. You know, Bill Scholes, is he in here? I don't know if Bill's in here or not, but Bill was a police lieutenant in Port Orange for years. And he told us one day in our staff meeting, he's retired now, but he said, you know what? Whenever a teenager came up missing, whenever there was a missing teenager, he said, first thing we do is we go to the parents, and in an effort to locate the teen, first question we ask is, who are their closest friends? He said, you'd be shocked at how many parents have no clue whatsoever who their kids' friends are. None. They don't have any clue. Let me ask you something. If you want your kid to follow a certain course, you think it'd be a good idea to know who they're hanging out with? Yeah, I think that'd be a really good idea to know who their friends are and to know what they're listening to, what they're watching. I can't even fathom in this day and age that we live in today, which, you know, we didn't deal with this when I was a kid, but I can't even fathom in this day and age being a parent, having a kid in the house, and not having any way to monitor what internet sites they're going to. I can't even fathom it. I mean, it's like giving them a gun and saying, here, now be careful. Be careful. Did you know you name the most vile, lewd, lascivious, nasty, filthy things that you could possibly name in the world, and you can find them on the internet? It's like giving them a gun and saying, now be careful with it. You give a kid a computer, you give them a way to access the internet with no accountability. There are great programs out there that you can institute that will provide accountability. You need to know where your kids are going on the internet. You need to know what chat rooms, I hope they're not in any, but if they are, who they're talking to. We've had teenagers in this church turn 18 and they're missing, and come to find out they'd met somebody on the internet, and when they hit 18, the day of their birthday, they were gone. Gone. I'm telling you, it's real. And as parents, we've got to have a plan and we got to have a goal, you know. And you look at these things in your kid's life. You look at, you know, where they're at on the web and the music and all the things that they're listening to. And you ask yourself, okay, is this helping and encouraging my child to follow the godly course that I want them to take? Is it helping or is it hindering? If somebody's going to run a 25-mile marathon, you think it'd be a really, really good idea that their diet every day consists of greasy pizza, French fries, and soda? No. Why? They're training. They're going to train. They're going to narrow what they eat. They're going to narrow what they do. Why? They're training. That word train means to narrow. Train up a child in the way he should go. See? Train him up. Number two. Second thing is this. The second timeless principle, I'm just telling you how kids can bring joy to parents. And you can, take it or leave it. But I'm telling you, the Bible tells us how our children can bring joy to our lives. Number two, parents must apply consistent correction. Look at Proverbs 22, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 22. I think you may be already in that chapter. Chapter 22, verse 15. All right? 22:15. All right, look at that verse and you tell me. I want you to think with me now. What's bound in the heart of a child? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of what? Correction shall drive it far from him. Parents must apply consistent correction. There is something within every child's heart that a parent has to reach and that the parent has to drive out. The Bible identifies it as foolishness. It's a variant of the word folly. Do you know what the word folly means if you look it up in the Bible? The word folly means, ready for this? Thick-headedness. Literally, I'm not kidding you. Folly means thick-headedness, senselessness, disobedience. So, and that makes sense. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. In other words, thick-headedness, stubbornness, selfishness is bound in the heart of a child. Did anybody in here that's raised kids have to teach your kids how to be selfish? Did you have to teach your kids how, when you ask them to do something as a toddler, did you have to teach them how to go, no? Now, here's how you do it. You go, no, and you went over it with them over and over until they finally got it down and they went, no. No. You know, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It's part of that sin nature that we inherit. Now, what are the ways? So we've got to apply correction to drive that from them. Now, how do I know if my kid is partaking in folly or foolishness? All right, let me give you five quick thoughts. It's in your handout. You ready? Here's how you know if they're partaking in folly. Number one, they are deceitful and deceptive. All right, look at Proverbs 14 after you write that in. Flip over to chapter 14, verse 18. I'm sorry, 8, 14, 8. 14, verse 8. It says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. The folly of fools is deceit. So what does that mean? Well, how do you know if your kid's partaking in folly? They lie their way out of trouble. They lie when they're caught red-handed. They use deceit to get what they want. That's how you know. Number two, what's the second way we know our kids are partaking in folly? Number two, they lack self-control, exhibiting angry outbursts. Look at Proverbs 14. You're already in that chapter. So look at verse 17. 14:17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. There's that word foolishly. And a man of wicked devices is hated. Look down at verse 29. It says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth, notice that last word, folly. What does it mean if I'm hasty of spirit? It means flying off the handle. Flying off the handle. Losing your control. By the way, do kids start that at a young age? Do they? Mine did. Y'all's didn't. My kids started that at a young age. You know, they tried it. They tried it, yeah. You know, young age. You know, they want what they want. They're a little toddler. And then when they don't get it, what do? Or they spit their food out. Or they hit it. Something. You know, or they go, I do that pretty good, huh? Hasty of spirit. angry outburst, right? I mean, they get back and they start young. As Barney Fife would tell Andy Griffith, that's why as a parent you gotta nip it. Nip it in the bud. You ever watch Andy Griffith? That's pretty good, wasn't it? That was my Barney Fife. Nip it in the bud. Every book you read on child rearing is in favor of bud nipping, Shannon. Hold on, let me see if I got my bullet. Hold on. Yep. Some of you are like, what are you talking about? Watch TV Land, amen. But yeah, they lack self-control. Exhibit angry outburst. Number three, they lack good decision-making and won't listen to instruction. They lack good decision-making and won't listen to instruction. Now, it starts out maybe innocent. You know, your kid's little, and you say, don't touch the coffee cup. Well, guess what I did when I was a toddler? I touched the coffee cup, and I poured hot coffee all over my chest as a little toddler. But then as they get a little older, it's don't play in the street. Well, I did that too as a kid, and I got hit by a car. I really did. I was in the street, I was playing, and a van hit me, boom, in the street. To this day, I don't know how I lived, but it didn't even hurt me. The van hit me, and he came running out of the van. Are you okay? I hopped up and went, yeah, I'm fine. I went running off. Phew, he's thinking, wow. But you know what? It starts out, don't touch the hot coffee cup, or don't touch the stove, or you know, don't play in the street. But then as they get older, guess what? It's don't take drugs. Do not drink and party with friends. You'll end up wrapped around a telephone pole. Don't do it. But if you haven't taught them to take instruction when they're little, they're not going to do it when they get older. So important. Number four, they exhibit an arrogant, know-it-all attitude. Number five, they cannot control their mouth. That's how you know they're partaking in folly. They cannot control their mouth. Look at Proverbs 15, verse 2. It says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Just pours it out. Verse 14, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Now, how many children are capable of exhibiting all those traits? All kids. Mine, yours, all of us. That's why God gave children parents, to correct that behavior, to drive the foolishness out. But if parents condone it, excuse it, tolerate it, or just simply yell and holler about it and warn them, they will never drive out the foolishness. It reminds me of the little boy, and it's back when people rode on buses more, and he's on a bus trip with his mom and his big sister, and the little boy's sitting in the seat with his sister, the mother's in the front, and she's trying to rest. And so the boy was screaming. He saw a fruit basket, and he wanted some fruit, and he's, I want my fruit! And so the mom told the big sister, said, let him have whatever he wants. I don't care what it is. Give it to him, because I'm trying to sleep. So he got the fruit. And then he saw some candy, and he wanted the candy, and he was hollering and screaming, and the mom said, give him whatever he wants, just give it to him. And so she gave him the candy, the big sister, you know. Well, about that time then, an insect flew into the bus and was on the window, and the little boy went out to grab it with his hand, and the big sister grabbed his hand and pulled it away and said, no, 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 you can't have that, you can't have that. And he yelled and he hollered and he screamed and he was looking at his mom, you know. And sure enough, she shrieked out to the big sister and said, let him have whatever it is he wants. But mom, it's I don't care what it is, give it to him. Well, about that time, his little hand went down on that insect and he started screaming at the top of his lungs. And the mother said, I told you to give him whatever he wants. The sister said, well, he got it. And the mom said, well, why doesn't he hush then? And the big sister said, guess it ain't what he thought it was. And the mom said, well, what is it? She said, a wasp. And you know, a lot of moms are bent on letting their children have whatever they want. And guess what? The kids usually get it, but they get a sting with it, don't they? They get a sting with it. If children are going to bring joy to parents' lives, they have to be corrected when they act foolishly. Kids that are not corrected become brats. I don't know how else to say it. Kids that are not corrected become brats. They partake in folly, foolishness, bratty behavior. It just happens. Kids have parents for a reason. See, look at Proverbs 30. Look at verse 11. Proverbs 30, 11. It says there, then to me, this verse is a picture of a child that was never corrected. This is a picture right here, buddy. I mean, this is a snapshot. You want to see what a kid looks like that's never corrected? Look at verse 11. There is, Proverbs 30, 11, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. A picture of a kid that's never corrected. All right, let me give you the third timeless principle. Number three in your handout. It says, parents must replace foolishness with wisdom. Look back at chapter 29. Can you flip back there? Chapter 29, verse 15. Please, look at that. Verse 15. 29, 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You see, our goal, parents, is not to simply drive out the foolishness, but we want to replace that with wisdom. It's not, in other words, it's not just about keeping our kids out of the wrong places. It's teaching them to love the right places. You know, love church, love youth group, you know. It's not enough about, you know, it's not enough for, you know, teach them to not look at the wrong things, but teach them to love the, to look at the right things, like look into the Bible and love the truth of God. It's not enough that they don't, for example, curse and swear, but they've learned how to speak to people with grace and kindness. You drive out the foolishness, but then you replace it with wisdom. My son, the Bible says, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Kids need instruction. They need boundaries. They need to know there's consequences when I cross those boundaries. That will impart wisdom to them for the rest of their life. Number four, parents must provide godly instruction. Go over to chapter 31. In fact, it's in your handout too. Chapter 31, verse 1 of Proverbs. This is a great verse. Look at this. And it's interesting. This is the Proverbs 31 woman chapter, you know, the virtuous woman chapter. And look how that chapter starts. The Proverbs 31 virtuous woman chapter. It starts out the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his what? Mother taught him. Wow, he got it from his mom. The wisdom he shared. Isn't that neat? Parents must provide godly instruction. God's design is for parents to be the primary source of influence and instruction in a child's life. Five, especially by the time from birth to five is crucial. You know, it really is. I liken parenting to coaching. I'm a coach. I love to coach. I coach sports and I really baseball I love, and I've coached a lot of that. And I liken parenting to coaching. Only you're not coaching them to play a sport. You're coaching them on how to live life. You're coaching that kid how to live life. You're coaching them how to have the right priorities in their life. Why? So that kid will grow up to be a good husband, a good wife, a good parent. You know, you're teaching those kids, you're coaching them up on how to have the right priorities, how to have the right morals in their life. You know, you're coaching them up on the belief system that they need to have. How many of you have ever met a kid that won't listen to anybody? Aren't they a delight to be around? And you know what? I've coached kids like that. You try to coach them up, they won't listen. They're an expert. They know everything. Well, why? What makes certain kids that way? It's because the parents never taught that kid how to receive instruction. You see, parents are to provide godly instruction for their kids. If I teach my kids, you know, how to go out when they're an adult, and make a lot of money, but I never teach them how to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, what have I really accomplished? By the way, can you make a lot of money and still destroy your life? Yeah. You know? I've got to coach my kids up. My kids. By the way, is it the church's job to raise my kids? How about the government? School system? Youth group? No. Whose job is it to raise up their kids? Right here. My kids, it's on me. And if my kids, if I don't show them the way, if I don't train them to follow that godly course, remember, train means to narrow, like narrowing the game plan down. You got to have a goal. You got to have a plan. And if it's not there, and my kids are not living unto the Lord, I can't blame Brother Shannon. And I can't blame Brother Rich. And I can't blame Brother Rob.
Well, if we'd have had a better youth group, my kids wouldn't be this way.
No. No, I can't blame anybody but me. See, listen. How many of you guys remember in 2002? I know this is going back a ways. How many of y'all remember the terror that gripped our country in 2002 when you had the sniper, the Washington, D.C. sniper shootings going on? Do y'all remember that? And it was a couple of guys, one a little older, one that was, I think, 18, 19 years old. And they would hide in the trunk of their car, and they were experts at shooting. And they would shoot across parking lots, and they would just kill random people for no reason. They would kill somebody in an ATM machine, shoot them in the head. They'd shoot somebody walking into Home Depot. Men, women, didn't matter. Didn't matter. And they finally caught them after they had killed, I believe, a dozen people in the Washington, D.C. Beltway area. And a lot of you may forget, but they actually had a reign of terror that went all the way to the state of Washington. They killed a dozen people just on their way there that they know of. And you look at that, you think, what in the world? There's just no sense, no rhyme or reason to that. And the young man's name was Lee Malvo. He's still in prison. The older one they had capital punishment, and he ended up lethal injection in 2009. But the youngest one's still alive. And this is what he was quoted as saying recently. He said, quote, "I was a monster." If you look up the definition, that's what a monster is. I was a ghoul. I was a thief. I stole people's lives. That's what he said. And they interviewed his father during this time. And he said this statement. He said, "My son's earliest years were happy ones, highlighted by my son's baptism, lessons in kicking a ball, riding a red bicycle that I bought for him, and the consumption of quite a bit of ice cream." You say, huh? This kid was having soccer lessons and eating ice cream and riding a red bike and getting baptized and all this. What happened? Well, here's what happened. The father dropped out of his life as a teenager, and this other guy, I think his name was John Muhammad, ended up coming into his life, treating him like a son, and then ended up getting him to go in with him on all these murders. And my point is, nobody looks at their baby and plans that for their life. But it can happen. It can happen to happy, innocent-looking kids. And that's why the statement at the bottom of your handout is the key to every principle I shared. Every timeless principle that I shared with you, this is the key for parents. You ready? Let's bring it up. What's the key to it? Let's go ahead and bring it up. All of these principles that we share involve a key word. What is it? Time. Parents must spend time with their children. It's not the church's job, the youth group, the children's church. It's not anyone's job but ours. By the way, would you all agree with me? The most important thing to teach our kids is that they can be saved by Jesus Christ. They can be forgiven of all their sins if they'll accept Jesus Christ as their Savior.